Hi, and welcome back to the PubK Compliance News Podcast. This is Bill Oliver for PubK. Every morning, we capture the latest news and opinion on Government False Claims Act cases, Foreign Corrupt Practices Act enforcement, and related legal issues. And every 2 weeks on this podcast, we recap the top headlines from our daily news. In a recent case, the Ninth Circuit affirmed summary judgment in favor of tech firm Honeywell in its FCA case. In Berg versus Honeywell, the firm had an energy savings performance contract to overhaul the energy production systems at Fort Richardson and Fort Wainwright in Alaska. The whistleblowers alleged that Honeywell made false statements regarding its energy savings calculations and fraudulently induced the Army to enter into the contract, thus rendering all of its claims for payment false. However, the Army paid Honeywell's claims from 2003 to 2008 despite being aware of the fraud allegations since 2002 and having conducted its own audit in 2003. Accordingly, the court held that the relator's claims failed to pass Escobar's demanding test for materiality. In a recent criminal case, a district court judge rejected the defendant's argument that an indictment cannot allege competing bases for FCPA jurisdiction to stack a series of charges. The defendant was indicted for allegedly attempting to bribe the president of Chad and the foreign minister of Uganda to obtain business with their governments for his clients. The indictment alleged the defendant violated the FCPA's domestic concern statute based on the actions he took as an agent of an organization located in the U.S., as well as the territorial jurisdiction statute based on conduct within the United States. In moving to dismiss, the defendant argued that it was improper to charge both statutes simultaneously based on the same misconduct, but the district court found the statutes are not mutually exclusive. The government argued that as a non-U.S. citizen, the defendant could be charged under either statute, and that the government was entitled to suggest alternative theories to the jury. The court agreed that the government could charge under both theories. In Chagrin v. LDR Industries, a district court held that the relator's lawsuit was barred by the government action bar because LDR Industries had already been subject to administrative penalties by U.S. Customs for the same alleged conduct. In this case, U.S. Customs determined that LDR had engaged in conduct to evade customs duties and demanded the firm pay $6.7 million in unpaid duties for 2011 and 2012. This action barred the relator's reverse false claims case, which was filed after the customs action. A federal judge in Brooklyn dismissed the Security and Exchange Commission's civil suit against two former executives of fund manager Oxif Capital Management Group, finding the claims were time-barred by the FCPA's five-year statute of limitations. SEC had accused the officials of directing bribes to win mining deals for the firm. While the alleged offenses occurred between May 27 and April 2011, SEC argued that tolling agreements had extended the statute of limitations enough to allow the claims, and that it should be granted more time for discovery. However, the court rejected that argument. The Department of Justice recently announced the creation of a task force on market integrity and consumer fraud, which will coordinate several of its own divisions, the FBI, and agencies including the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, SEC, and FTC. The task force is designed to strengthen the government's efforts to investigate and prosecute crimes of fraud committed against the government. The task force will also focus on combating fraud against consumers and, in particular, the elderly service members and veterans. Deputy Assistant Attorney General Matthew Miner, who oversees the Department of Justice's FCPA unit, says the government does not want the specter of FCPA enforcement to discourage corporate M&A activity. Miner says DOJ will apply the principles in the FCPA corporate enforcement policy to successor companies when there's wrongdoing. That means acquiring companies and targets that meet the requirements of the policy, including voluntary self-disclosure, full cooperation, and timely and appropriate remediation, will be entitled to a presumption of a declination. Richard C. Davis, the former head of Michigan-based Second Chance Body Armor, will pay $1.3 million to resolve FCA claims about the sale of defective Xylon bulletproof vests for use by law enforcement agencies. According to the allegations, the vests sold by Second Chance deteriorated rapidly when exposed to heat and humidity, and tests revealed a greater than 50% failure rate in stopping the type of bullets for which the vests were certified. Davis was allegedly aware of the problems with the vest material by 2001. Soros & Gross Construction Company and its corporate vice president will pay $2.481 million to resolve allegations that they submitted false claims for payment under a construction contract funded by USAID in Aqaba, Jordan. According to the allegations, Soros & subcontracted almost all of the work on the project to a local Jordanian company, despite contract language requiring Sorensen to perform at least 50% of the work, requiring pre-approval of any subcontract valued more than $100,000, and limiting subcontracts with Jordanian companies to $5 million. Sorensen later falsely certified that it was performing work under the contract. A former business partner of a U.S. military contractor has pleaded guilty to one count of bribery for his role in a scheme to bribe U.S. Army contracting officials stationed at a U.S. military base in Kuwait. According to the allegations, Finbar Charles facilitated millions of dollars in bribes to various U.S. Army officials in exchange for preferential treatment for his business partner's companies in defense contracts to deliver bottled water and to construct security fencing to support U.S. troops stationed in Kuwait and Iraq. 3M Company has agreed to pay $9.1 million to resolve allegations that it knowingly sold earplugs to the United States military without disclosing defects that hampered the effectiveness of the devices. The settlement resolves allegations that 3M violated the FCA by selling defective earplugs to the Defense Logistics Agency. 3M and its predecessor, Aero Technologies, Inc., allegedly knew the devices would not perform as expected and failed to disclose this defect to the military. SEC has announced that Credit Suisse Group AG will pay approximately $30 million to resolve charges that it obtained investment banking business in the Asia-Pacific region by corruptly influencing foreign officials in violation of the SCPA. According to the allegations, a Hong Kong subsidiary of the firm hired friends and relatives of top government officials in anticipation of receiving assistance from those officials in obtaining government contracts. The firm recently agreed to pay $47 million to the Department of Justice in relation to the misconduct. Credit Suisse agreed to pay disgorgement of $24.9 million plus $4.8 million in interest to settle SEC's case. Japanese prosecutors leveraged a newly adopted law to enter into a plea agreement to resolve an overseas bribery case with power plant manufacturer Mitsubishi Hitachi Power Systems. Though bribing overseas officials has been against Japanese law since 1998, only four cases have been prosecuted previously. The case involved a power plant contractor awarded in 2013 and an individual employee alleged to have bribed a civil servant in Thailand. Baker McKenzie's Compliance and Investigations Group has launched two new mobile applications providing access to information from its Global Corporate Liability and Global Overview of Anti-Bribery Laws, handbooks, and websites. The apps provide a touch-of-the-button solution for those seeking comparative information on corporate liability and anti-bribery legislation in jurisdictions around the world. Both apps are available for download in the App Store for iOS. And that's the news for this week. For further reading on today's topics, you can find links to our blog posts and original sources on the PubK Compliance page where you listen to this podcast. I hope you'll join me again in 2 weeks for the next edition of the PubK Compliance News Podcast.